Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens with my compatriot, travel companion, your Sacagawea.
Come on.
For this podcast,
Sacagawea.
Bringing you the guide to the Great Pacific Ocean.
Hello.
Brad Lominick.
Man, that was a introduction like no other.
Yeah, it was, of all the introductions you've ever
I've had, never had,
it
one
was
like
one
that.
Of them.
Yes. If we were going to go on a trip together, by the way, Ron, more for fun, where would we go?
So I think we would go...
Everest?
No. I don't.
You have base
to eat
camp.
Dehydrated
base
camp. Food. You have to eat dehydrated food. I'm not doing that.
How about on Elon Musk's trip to Mars?
No. I was thinking, I was going the other way. I was going to go to Scotland.
Okay.
Look at castles
yes.
and quail hunt.
Done.
To me, that would be the...
Done. I'm in.
Guy's trip. You get good food there.
Yeah, we get to wear like our cool Scottish
kilts.
Quail hunting yeah, outfits.
Quail hunting kilts.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on the right. on the Scottish quail hunt trip
in
Castle.
We just get a sponsor. We just need a sponsor for that.
We'll take care of that.
Yeah,
Bree's also in.
Yeah,
Bree would like to go and and carry the bags.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear your conversation with Mike Odar, who I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that everybody needs to know.
We do, and so this interview was part of a series we have of interviewing Q&A style, think David Faraday, interviews of leaders that we're doing around some breakfast meetings. So we have about 100 people who come around these meetings, and there was some gold being mined during them. I thought, you know, let's just record them and share those interviews. So they're a little long, but there are lots of questions. Mike is an incredible leader. He's the president, CEO of Greenleaf Trust, which is, you know, one of the top 10 trust companies in America. What I love about Mike's leadership is Mike started at absolutely the entry level and has worked his way up to the top. And I love leaders who do every job along the way. They invest in themselves. They invest in their education. But he has brought a team behind him. He's the leader who's created a wake, just like the wake behind a boat, who's just brought other leaders an incredible change with them. And he's just an amazing guy. And I encourage you to stick around and listen to our interview with Mike Odar. We're lucky to have Mike with us today. And you all saw his bio when we sent it out and when you booked for this. But I'll just remind you. So Mike's the president of Greenleaf Trust. He started in the company. And that's one of the things I love about these leadership journeys we get to start talk about. He started and built his career internally in the company. So just talk about, you know, he started as a senior research analyst, director, junior research analyst. See, they left that out. Junior research analyst, director of research, director of wealth management, senior vice president of strategies and initiatives. He is a Spartan and has also graduated the management program from the University of Chicago. So he's past chair of Bronson Health Foundation and currently serves with the Gull Lake Community Foundation. So we're going to get right in. So Mike, tell us about your current role today in leadership.
All right. Thanks for having me here. So my role now is I serve as the, as Ron said, the president of Greenleaf Trust. We have offices now in Kalamazoo, Birmingham, Grand Rapids, Petoskey, Traverse City, and soon to be Delaware. We have 115 people now. We started in 1999. We had about 10 people then. I think I was employee number 7. We've grown through focusing on our clients, our colleagues, and the communities that we live and work in. And so those are three things that are very important to us. Our focus, again, primarily is on clients, and that's how we differentiate ourselves.
So how did you get started? So you're graduating from Michigan State.
Yeah.
What drove you to want to join a small, at that point, almost startup company versus going someplace big or going into large finance?
Well, when I graduated from Michigan State, I went overseas and backpacked through Europe with a friend of mine. We ran with the Bulls in Pamplona. I got back alive and had about $75 to my name, so then had to get a job. And at that point in time, it was 92. There weren't too many jobs out there. So
this was last resort. The Bulls didn't kill you. So
no, yeah. So, well, yeah, then I had to, you know, my nightmare was, okay, right when you graduate from college, I thought you could get a job. And there was no job. So I actually had to live in the basement of my parents' house for a summer while I looked for jobs. And I finally got a job in Cincinnati as a stockbroker. Did that for a few years, learned a lot, learned that that wasn't for me. It was really sales oriented and wasn't people first. My wife and I are both from this area, the Gull Lake area, and so knew we wanted to get back here. Found a job in Detroit as a financial advisor. Again, primarily sales oriented, really worked a lot of hours. So we were there from 8 to 9 o'clock at night every day. And so trying to build your business. An opportunity opened up here with First of America, which at the time, mid-90s, was a thriving bank. And I really enjoyed my time there. And I think that there's maybe people around the room that have some FOA backgrounds. And it really felt like a team. And as you know, that changed hands into National City. And like I said, the culture I really enjoyed at First of America really changed. That was a big part. National City's focus at that time was, it's our way or the highway. There was not a lot of collaboration, and began looking for other opportunities. And at that point in time, again, you opened up the paper and you looked for a job and actually answered a blind ad in the paper. So it didn't even say the company's name. But I'd heard there's another person that I'd worked with at PNC that had gone over to Greenleaf Trust, which, you know, news traveled around town. This is a startup company. So I threw my resume into the blind ad, the post office box, and got a call. Thankfully, Bill had seen it and asked Dean, you know, what do you think about this guy? And apparently I'd made a good impression on Dean, and that would be a lesson too. Always, you know, make a good impression. You never know what can happen. And I got called in and got the job at that point. There were two companies, Greenleaf Asset Management and Greenleaf Trust. So I joined Greenleaf Asset Management as a junior research analyst. I wanted to be in the business of financial advice, helping people. That's what I think is a big part of our role. I do like numbers, but it's mainly about working with people and helping people in a really trusting relationship. And so that's what excited me about that role.
So you mentioned something there that, because I know you and we're friends and I have the privilege of reading your monthly column, and that was the word culture. So tell us about that idea of culture and where you are in your leadership around that.
So I think having been in different organizations, and you heard me talk about previous experiences at First of America and National City, I think that culture is probably the most important thing is your working environment. It is the most important thing. And the culture that we have benefits not only the colleagues, but ultimately the clients. And what we want to do is create a culture where we look for really talented people, and then we create an environment for them to do their thing and be who they are. And if they have those types of opportunities to do what they love and be who they are, who's going to benefit from that? That's going to be the client. And that's going to create a really rich relationship with them. We think we work hard at it every day. It's not something you just say, yeah, we're going to create this great culture and go at it. It takes a lot of daily work, but it's one of those things where if you work really hard at it, the benefits are immeasurable.
Oh, I believe that as well, and continue to learn from you every day. Now we're going to start with the fun questions.
All right.
Fun for me. I don't know. So what advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
So after I would tell him not to be a knucklehead, I would tell him, so 20 years old, you're what, junior in college? I would tell him to be more mindful. And so by mindful, I mean be in the moment. Focus on the experience at hand. I do a lot of self-reflection. I'm an achiever. So if you give me something to do, I'm going to go do it. And that's the way I think I approached college, too. I worked really hard. I had a lot of fun. It was Michigan State. You do that there. We have a Greenleaf Trust scholarship. And I meet with these kids, and I, like, shake my head. I'm like, geez, I was never like that at that age. I'm so impressed. And it was because I was so, you know, wanting to get things done. Okay, I'm going to graduate in 4 years. I did well. I worked hard. But I think if I was more mindful, more in the moment, I had more opportunities to really learn. And it wasn't until I went to the University of Chicago, the advanced management program, that kind of sunk in. And I was more knowing of myself. And so I was in a learning environment and could really soak that up. To me, a lot of times at Michigan State, it was, okay, we're going to get this class done and not really soak it all in.
Just checking the box.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost that. I know others like that are more check the box. I don't think I'm check the box, but I could have been more mindful.
Yep. Well, that's a great comment. In your current role as a point leader in the organization, what do you wish you knew before you took the role?
Before I took the role, I wish I knew that. And it wasn't necessarily this role, but as I became a leader in the organization, and you lead people and you mentor them, and your job as a manager when you deal with people that you lead is your job's not about what you need to get done. It's about helping them grow and helping them get what needs to be done, what they want to do, how they want to grow. And that I knew what was difficult was recognizing that people are going to be different than you, okay? I told you I'm an achiever. Give me something, I'm going to do it. There are people that don't necessarily have that growth in them. And maybe they don't necessarily want to grow and to become a leader to manage people. So how do you help them grow? They might have this idea in their head that, hey, the only way I'm going to grow in this company is if I start managing people. And you know what? I don't want to manage people. I don't like that. So how can I grow? And I've learned, you know, motivating. And you have to check yourself every once in a while, too, because it's giving something like it was given to me as far as to go do, some people might need a little bit more help, a little bit more guidance. And so learning that has been a journey, but it's fun once you know who that person is and then you have a playbook and know the right buttons to push and how to motivate them.
No, I think that's great. We have a mutual mentor kind of gave me that same advice, is you can't judge people based on your desires for them.
Yep.
You know, you can't want more for people than they want for themselves.
And that can be tough. You can bang your head against the wall. You're like, what are you talking about? How come you get, you know, you can't get this? But it's everybody's different. And I think before you start managing people, take the time to really get to know who they are, what motivates them, what pushes their buttons, and really how do they want to grow.
I think that's absolutely dead on. This is rapid fire. These are one or two word answers.
Okay.
Shouldn't take much to think about. So, favorite color?
Green.
Favorite car? By the way, green, I get right. That.
Favorite car? Ferrari 308.
Nice. Favorite book?
The Hobbit.
Nobody's ever said that.
What?
Everybody.
I mean, that's not my favorite book. It's always good to great.
I mean,
you're like the first non-Jim Collins person.
Yeah.
I like that. Well,
I read other books, and that's my favorite book.
What's your superpower?
My superpower is that arranger, that campfire mic.
Do you have a theme song or an on-deck song?
Going the Distance. So anybody in here a Rocky fan?
Uh-huh.
So at the very end of the fight, when he's calling out for Adrian.
Nice. Favorite pizza topping?
Toppings or topping?
Multiple. You could have control. You're a ranger.
Sausage, green pepper, onion.
All right. Text or call?
Text. I say that hesitantly because there's instances where you should call, and I believe that.
Favorite children's book?
Where the Sidewalk Ends, Shel Silverstein.
Oh, it is a good book. Favorite place to visit?
St. John, Virgin Islands.
What about that you like so much?
That's where Jen and I went on our honeymoon.
None of you would have said where you went on your honeymoon. It's just better than you guys.
We recently had the opportunity to take our kids back there, and it's a lot of fun. It's pretty laid back and great place to renew.
Where would you like to visit?
I've never been to Hawaii.
Great place, too. Favorite smell? It was popcorn this morning coming in. Did anybody else smell that?
I did. I smelled
that. Oh, that was awesome.
So it was a toss-up between puppy belly and fresh-cut grass.
Puppy belly. So I'm a puppy breath guy.
Puppy. Hey. Anybody smell puppy's belly?
Best advice you ever received?
best advice, two things. Be yourself, and especially as a leader, that's going to be important. Don't be somebody you're not. You got to come across as real. And there's some people that they're not necessarily going to connect to you, but they can respect you. We all know that thing. I'd rather be respected than liked. And that's important. And it's important that you are who you are. If you are not, by the end of the day, you will be completely exhausted. So if you can be who you are at all times, that's going to feel really good. And that you're going to connect more to the people around you. The other piece of advice that I received was, when people reveal themselves, believe them. And that's true. And that can be when they reveal themselves in a positive or negative way, you're going to see that and you're going to go, whoa, or you're going to go, oh, and you better believe them.
Nope, dead on. I believe that same advice as well. I used to quote it that the person who told me that, I thought they said it. And then his wife told me, no, Oprah said it. Then I heard Oprah say, no, Maya Angelou said it. So yeah, whoever said it, it is great advice.
Yes.
Well, thanks again to you, Ron, for sitting down with Mike Odar.
Yeah, that was an incredible interview, and he's a great friend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.